Welcome back to another episode of Made to Cast. Today we have, at this point I would consider a good friend that I never met before. And we started talking about a year and a half ago. Time's blended. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm horrible at counting times. But I'm not going to prolong the intro with Mr. Tim Quackdow with Rescue Fishing. I hope I said that right and I'm not doing any kind of injustice. Without...
Oh, good.
But
it's actually what Dow?
What Dow? Well, Google Translate really did me a disservice. So, but Timmy or Rescue Fishing is what I go by. Thanks for jumping, especially last second, man. Like I appreciate. I sent out this message yesterday, last night, and you're like, yeah, I got this window. So I appreciate you you jumping in here and doing that.
Yeah, I appreciate you. Inviting and honored to be to be here, man.
I know that this is a tale of oldest time. As long as there's been waste, there's been people that have seen the value in reusing that waste. But in when I started doing this, you're the first one that came across, like in my actual circle, to approach me and talk to me, and. I remember seeing something that you had done, and I can't, because again, we're going back quite a while now. I want to say it's 10 years ago, but I know it's been like a year. Like it hasn't been super, super long. But your drive to recycle everyday items that people disregard and turn them into something, I would love to pick your brain in how this became that thing for you. Do you know what I mean? So give me the origin stories. Mm-hmm. Let me know a little bit about your fishing life, because I know that we've talked fishing quite a bit. When that started, and then how it evolved into finding the beauty in refuse.
Gotcha. So just early fishing life was, I think I was like 13 or 14 when I moved to Florida. And growing up in Pittsburgh, there's a rivers, but just fishing wasn't as accessible.
Right.
And then I get to Florida and there's like all these canals and offshoots like golf courses.
Right.
So, you know, Saturday morning, Bassmasters TV, like all of that just kind of happened
right
when I moved there. I think I took a step away from that, you know, with like growing up and work, getting into other hobbies of like your friends, so like golf kind of took me away from that like random once or twice
right
fishing trip. But the pandemic got me back into it like super full swing.
Yeah,
it was definitely a needed escape.
I think that's a common denominator across the board with a lot of people getting back into things, people locked down. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
But... No, it's all good. But that's pretty much when I like jumped back in full swing. My youngest brother asked me if I had an extra bait cast rod. Like, I have one. I think it's in like mom and dad's garage. I haven't attempted a bait caster in probably, you know. And we got out together and. He's just flipping and like casting this thing, and it just drove me. I'm like, I can't have my little bro over here. but yeah, that was when like I was just getting out constantly, and getting. That's when I got my float tube.
Oh, okay,
so I was like able to be on the water more, and that was kind of you know, I saw this guy and he was just lure hunting. Just had like you know. 3-4 pieces of PVC pipe and like a hook pulling line and lures out.
Really?
Yeah, so I started doing that. I was like, you know, let's just snag some of the line out of the trees. And, you know, of course, you know, there's depending on, you know, how pressured and how many people are there, you know, you kind of notice more stuff being left behind. But I think as far as, like, the salvage part, I was always, like, I got into scrap metal.
Okay.
I was just like, just the stuff that's gonna go to a landfill, take up space there, when it's like has some sort of value,
right?
And I think that was like that just drive. I worked on at a restaurant on University of Pittsburgh's campus.
Okay.
And I remember like move out, like you drive down like the street, and it's just like so much stuff that like probably still works.
Right.
Or, could have been donated or something.
Yeah.
It's just like just seeing just how much stuff can be
recycled.
Be wasted.
Yeah, and then reused. Yeah. And I mean,
right.
I think because after talking to you and you are a big proponent of that reuse, recycle, when I've talked to you in the past. And I think it's helped me, like, in a world of waste. I mean, acknowledge the waste that I do. We've always been good at, like, we compost, we do our means at, like, removing as much from the landfill as possible. But then when I put it into my own workshop, I look at all the wasted things that I go through, all the cutoff pieces, all the things that I disregard, and I can use them for things. I 100% can. And it wouldn't even be like, ooh, what, maybe I'll save this. I could probably put them to use pretty quickly, but when time is, I don't even want to say of the essence, but like, it's just easier to throw it out and start over. It's easier to throw it out. And we find ourselves, and I think everybody can find themselves in that point where you realize how much is actually wasted. And it was after talking to you that I started realizing things, that little things that I contribute in my little world of producing more waste. And one of those things, I sent it to you because it was one of the first times where I actually put it into account, and I messaged you right away, was I send out cardboard boxes with my baits in them, but I don't trust the postal services so much. And then in case they get left in like a puddle or they get left in water, when I first started, I used to just tape them, use tape all over the whole thing, completely waterproof it in packing tape. But then I was like, you know what, I'm going to put them in mailers, like tear-proof mailers. And that way, if I don't have something that is in a box, I can just put it in the mailer anyways, and I should be safe with that. Wrap it in bubble wrap or something. So I've always sent out boxes wrapped in mailers to keep them waterproof. And after talking to you and looking at it, I realized that I could get biodegradable mailers. I know that every single time I send out a mailer, that person rips that mailer off, which is like a plastic bag for those that don't know. Anybody that's ordered from Amazon has got a mailer. Just tore that plastic bag off. It's single-use plastic, and you throw it in the garbage or whatever, and it goes to nothing. Like, it just goes to the landfill. Nobody reuses those. Nobody uses those for a second purpose. I shouldn't say nobody, but 0.001% might reuse those. But they go for nothing. So I looked into it, and I realized I could get 100% biodegradable, compostable mailers. Now, I have to put a little bit, they don't stick as well, so I have to put one piece of tape on them, but that tape peels right off. And I'd rather have one piece of tape going into the garbage than a full mailer going into the garbage. Like, I'm not removing the problem, but I'm reducing the problem. And on the tiny, tiny, microscopic level that I can work on, it does make you feel a little better knowing that even if somebody throws this in the garbage, which they're going to, at least I know that the decomposition rate of it is incredibly quickly. Like, it'll go, and I'm not contributing to that source. That's a very small thing that I picked up, and one of the first things I picked up, and I was excited to send it to you because, like, you make that difference. Like, I would have never looked into it if I hadn't been talking to you. So I appreciate that. I appreciate you bringing that up into my world, letting me able to make those conscious decisions.
That's awesome. I'm happy that happened. I do remember getting that post from you. You were just kind of like, check this out. And, I think one thing that's in my mind too is like when you talk about just how microscopic of a difference, what I am or what you're doing with your packaging is actually when you're looking at the whole big picture, right? But yeah, I think there's a, feeling good doing it, But I think also at the same time, humans are have or have become kind of creatures of convenience,
Yes.
right? Like, oh, my cell phone's lagging, just complaining about these things, but it's just also so amazing that, it's even happening in the first place.
100%. Oh, I
And
agree.
with kids, we were like, gonna do this, we're getting these reusable pouch things, and they are just such a pain to clean. And it's just like, it's maybe even cheaper, if not the same price, to just get a case pouch.
It's more than just a conscious effort. Like it is. Like it's got to be a choice that you have to make. And the kids are a great that, and I mean that's what's helped made it easier for me too, is I got three kids. And you always want to leave the place better than when you found it. And like, which is, we try to do that anytime we go out. Again, we're working on micro scales, but like, you can also, like, when I try to think about how micro of a scale I'm working on, I think about things like you can only keep your garden clean. But if everybody goes off that philosophy, then we'll all have clean gardens. Like, let's. And again, not everybody's going to do it. And the argument would be like, your whole city makes less garbage than this one factory alone. Okay, well, you can't control that. Yes, we can't keep up to the giant manufacturers and all that stuff and the waste and the carbon footprint they put out. But you feel better doing it. And I think that you're doing the opposite from hurting somebody. So why not make yourself feel better and in the same time do a positive thing going forward? And to me, it just doesn't. It's such a short-sighted thing to be like, oh, well, we'll never keep up to everybody else. You don't have to. Just make yourself feel better. Reuse something. I tell you, all it does is when you reuse something, you start seeing all the garbage that you throw out in a totally different purpose. We have kids. We both have kids. There's so much stuff that I throw out, like mailers. Let's just say a mailer. You could take that and cut that and cut it into strips and make a craft for the kids or give something for the kid. The kids will find a purpose for it. Like, you know what I mean? You give any garbage
For
to a
sure.
kid, they find a purpose for it. You might end up throwing it out a week later, but you gave something a second purpose. And I know that just seems like it's prolonging the problem, but the long, like, I don't know. I'm talking in circles now. But reusing of items is. It's so e like you said, it's so easy to just go buy the new thing. And what you said with the pouches, I lived that. My son, my oldest son, who's 10 now, his childhood versus my 3-year-old is totally different. Like we did the we got for like baby showers, we got those reusable pouches, and we're like, oh, this is fantastic. Like we just make our own applesauce. That was awesome for about a month and a half. Like all these reusable things that they get. And by the third one, you're like, oh, I can go to Costco and buy a box for a fraction of that cost, and I don't have to make it? Like, that's crazy. And you get to the point where, and we write it off as there's not enough time. I don't have time to do that, which that's an argument to have. But again, it's a conscious effort to make recycling, reusing, repurposing a part of your life because it's not the easier solution, right? Financially, it might help out in the long run, but it is not the easiest solution to do. But even if you just start, like I said, and I want to get into this because this is where your lures, like motivated me to do something. You're a little tiny, 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 tiny reusing of your lures, a little tiny piece of something, helped me repurpose my packaging, which made me want to do something like it brings repurpose into your life and like your biology or your carbon footprint into your foresight. And that's what I want to get into is with your lures, because I'm going to start with some of the little things that you use just to repurpose fishing lures, right? So you're working on a inline spinner right now, that you've got some, and this is something that you do for your own entertainment, correct? This isn't, Yep. As of right now, we're building like a social media platform, and you're sharing what you do. You haven't fully started and be like, I'm selling these yet. You're just looking to repurpose.
Yeah, so I think the grand scheme, like, you know, big picture was always shifting gears as far as what my profession, you know, like, I've been stay-at-home dad for past 3 years plus, and was working in mostly restaurants, back about a huge portion of my life, and that industry is just not a good fit for having a family, especially with kids. I know. Rough, even just like dating somebody and being in that industry.
Mm-hmm. You
know? But the big picture was, you know, want to start this war company that focuses on reusing hard to recycle material in some aspect.
Right.
And, you know, I made a ton of fails. And I had one lure catch a fish. I gave it to my brother for his birthday. And he caught a fish, and I was just like, holy cow, like, I can, this thing works.
Yeah.
Like, I can, this is a possibility. And one of my wife's friends mentioned, like, a small business incubator.
Okay.
I don't know if you're familiar with that, if that's a thing in Canada or not, but, like, they're usually state-funded, small business development groups.
Oh, okay.
So kind of encouraging and helping small businesses figure out if they're qualified to get any type of grant or something to help boost their business. And, you know, I jumped right into that. Before, I made one working model that my brother caught one fish on, and my wife's friend planted that seed, and I was like, you know, that was when, like, my research into it just come waste.
Yeah.
Like, I don't remember any of the numbers, really, because that was, you know, a year plus ago when I'd met you and discovered you on Instagram. But, I'm sorry, I totally got back there.
No. Just talking about, like, the small business, starting up a small business, where you're going with it.
Yeah. So, and, you know, I ended up getting accepted to, like, compete in this small business incubator thing, and learned a ton from it. Was not selected, and then I was just kind of like, well, let's just jump back to, you know, tweaking the floors and figuring this out. But the inline spinners was just kind of, I'm almost always, not always on eBay, but probably once a day, I'm just like scrolling through eBay. I'll just look at fishing auctions and what's ending through.
Right.
And like see if there's any like crazy deals that grab up that way.
Right.
And that's when I discovered the, I guess they're called June bug blades.
Okay.
Is that style of blade? Because the clevis is like built in.
Yeah, it's a standoff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I stumbled upon, like, you know, I think it was like 100 or something of those.
Oh, wow.
Or something. And I was just like, you know, let's research this thing, you know, Google reverse image search it. And I was like, I'm just going to bid on these and what I can do.
And I have them. It's the first time I've had it. Like, I don't know June bug blade. I've never heard the terminology before, but it is a standoff blade. I'll include a picture with this thumbnail of this podcast, but it just stands upright. I don't know how else to explain it, but it's not free. Like, it's free spinning, but it stays propped up, so it doesn't flop around. And it is a very, very cool blade. Again, it's probably been around forever. I'm talking like it's a brand new thing. It's probably old as time, but it is a very, very good blade. But you've used it and you've tied like skirting on it, feathers on it. But in that feathering, you've included refuse. You've included flash from household garbage that we would throw out, wouldn't even think about, but we throw out every single day, right? So I think on the ones that you sent me, you said it was the fresh seal tin off of like a Folgers can or something.
It's actually like a bag, like the coffee bags, like.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, like the like the for the beans, like the actual coffee bean bag. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. When you, yeah, so it's the pretty much. I don't remember. I think it might even be a Tim Hortons one. Okay. I forget what color. Or no, I think I gave you like a silver.
It
brown,
was silver. But, yeah, yeah. This was.
Yeah,
silver.
Yeah.
But
there's so many things that like packaging, like the inside, you know, is foil.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just shiny stuff that, you know, you can use for freaking fish.
Yeah, seriously. And that's all it takes. And I mean, I think that, like, because I've talked to you a while ago about, like, business ideas. I mean, that's essentially what we've talked about in the past. But, like, there's something to be had there. And again, I don't want to say too much about it because I've got more ideas that I'm literally thinking about right now, talking to you in person about. But like it's something that everybody, it's an example of anybody can do this, and you don't need much. Like people talk to me about like how much of an investment it is to make hard baits or get into soft plastics, and I agree 100%. You have to have an entry fund in order to get stuff. And even there's a lot of YouTube videos on like grabbing a piece of wood and making a lure out of like bare minimum, like, so just all hand tools and refining them, and they look good. Like, there's, I'm not knocking them, but as soon as you do that, if you kind of like it, you want to invest in the stuff that's going to make you better or faster. So now we're talking bandsaws and belt sanders and all the other different equipment to get you going. And there's a huge investment in even a wood bait. And then when resin, we're talking like so much more. Soft plastics, you can make your own mold for the price of silicone and some clay. But you still got to make those investments. What you're doing, you could rummage literally through your parents' house. And you could make some, all you need, like, because like the more I think about it, all the old spokes off of like a bike wheel, like, you know what I mean, those laying, rip those spokes off and you got the like the wire for a spinner, like an inline, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many things that you can take. The blade, you can make that blade. Yours are wicked, but you can make a blade. Use a pop can. Like, people think of things that have to be like showroom ready. But if you want to make something that'll truly catch fish, you could do it essentially for free with the things you have. The only thing you might have to buy is a hook. But if you happen to have a tackle box, I guarantee you probably got a hook in there. Like, so the foundation of what your lure needs is the only thing that you might have to buy. The rest, if you got an imagination, you could. And that's the thing that I love about you bringing it to my attention. And now, because I follow you, and looking up recycled things, there's been other recycled things that have come across, and it's just, it makes me look at the environment around you when you're throwing things out, right? Like, you're like, oh, this could be. Now, I don't tie. That's the only thing I don't do. I don't tie. But after you sent me that lure with the coffee bag, it's like kind of ribbons in it for flash, I started thinking, like, yeah, if you just got a shredder and just shred it up, instead of throwing the stuff out, you could literally have flash forever just because of all the stuff. And like you said, because that's the whole thing, is you get these beautiful prints on some of these Stay Fresh products. You rip on the inside and it's tin foil. Like, it's like not aluminum foil, but it's got that, it's silver flashy stuff, you know, whatever you'd call it. But that's very cool. And like, is that because you've started to, well, because the other thing you do is, like you said, is salvage. So the last few things on your page is you've salvaged baits. So the, are those ones you find, or are those old tackle box finds, or what are you doing with those?
Those are mostly just old tackle box finds. Like I've, going back to full dive, full send, they say, back into the fishing world. It's just all over Facebook Marketplace, like trying to acquire, take that one, the collection of one gone,
Yeah.
And it was like I was like acquiring stuff to, I was selling on eBay part time. So it was
Okay.
like, whether something I find that, like I found a, it was like over the rear wheel bike rack thing for a bicycle,
Yeah.
like just hauling stuff, one of those things.
Yeah.
And I was gonna scrap metal it, and I like, looked it up, and like, well, this thing sold on eBay for like $25. It's
Right.
like, from the 70s or
Yeah.
whatever. So, sorry, man. I just getting geeked out and losing. I think going back to your episode with Lawrence and you just like talking, being talkers, that's definitely something I've been living most of my You get on a subject and your brain is
Hyper focused.
it for sure. But
But see, like
with the
but some people get, and it's funny because before we started recording this, I was kind of talking a little bit, but some people get, when the record button hits, your brain says that like there's supposed to be something that's supposed to be said. And by the end of this, you realize that it's just a conversation that people are end up going to listen to or not. But my problem is my brain just wants to run. Because I find the nuance of a conversation the juiciest. So sometimes I like to talk about the things that's not the most delicious, but it's for me, it's what I enjoy the most, you know? But like, because what you were saying, I'm super interested in eBay sales, and not just because I've never done eBay, and I've heard a lot of people like, oh, you can't make money on eBay. Like it's there's too much like. Whatever, like it's they have fees and blah blah blah, but that again, that's that resourcefulness is not it speaks to your character. And I know it's you might be like, well, I'm sitting at home, I might as well list things on eBay anyways. But for me, I have stuff that I would at a certain point give away or throw out. And I'm just being honest here, there's things that I throw out that what we're talking about. That I'm that person that you walk by and you're like, that thing still works, but I don't need it. I'm trying to get rid of it. I'm trying to declutter for whatever the reason is. So I'd rather just like, hey, do you need this? Do you want this? Get rid of it, then list it. And there's stuff that, like, I know that I could probably get money for, but then I gotta list it. Like Kijiji. Like, do you guys have Kijiji's right across? You don't have Kijiji?
No, we do
Okay, so
not.
it's a Canadian thing. So Kijiji is like, it's Facebook Marketplace. You guys got
Yeah.
that? So it was Facebook Marketplace before Facebook Marketplace. Like we've had
Got
Kijiji for 15 years. And it's just
kind of like a Craigslist?
exactly it's that's better. Because we
Yeah.
also have Craigslist, but I think
Okay.
more people would know what Kijiji is than Craigslist. Which is the exact same thing. It's just a buy and sell website. But there's a million things that I could put on that and sell it. And I do it and I'm like, why don't I just do this to everything? Like I could get 10, 15 bucks, 20 bucks, whatever here. But then there's times where I'm like, it's been sitting there for a month. Like it's 10 bucks. What am I doing? And so like it wasn't worth my time. But there's something to be said about posting these things for the people that want them. And I wish I had more of that in me. And I think I'm learning to value that dollar more and try to get more out of it. I don't know, but at the same time, I'm just like I'd rather give it to somebody for free. So that's my own battle. But you doing that and using that as a venture again speaks to your repurposing like and nature. Not that that's your identity. Like I'm not trying to put that on you as that's your identity. You're the recycle guy. Like I get it. Like someone's gonna want to see you buy like a fast food restaurant and be like, you're throwing that out. It's I know it's not your I know it's not your identity.
Compost that salad.
That's right. But But like again, I just that's my relationship with you. So that's kind of what I can speak to is you, and what you've brought to the table through our conversations with repurposed materials. When it comes, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry.
No, it's go ahead.
Good. I just remembered the whole eBay was getting to the older lures. So it was stuff that I was gonna sell on eBay. I would find somebody on Marketplace to trade with.
Oh, okay.
So that I kind of acquired some of the fishing stuff through swapping. You know, some of it was bought.
Right.
But you know, a lot of it was just, you know, again, like clutter to somebody.
Yeah.
You know. One of the tackle boxes, you know, a woman was cleaning out her parents' house and was just like living out of town and was just like, I just want this stuff to go.
Right. Right. And okay. I mean, I went to with Carson, with Dangle Baits and Wes from Wham Baits. We actually got together. First time I ever met Wes, we went to, it's called the Bassmaster Tackle Swap in. Like up here where I'm at, it's not a huge event, like it's not a giant thing, but it's a pretty big warehouse, and it's got, you know, it's got some vendors, some lure makers, but it's a lot of tackle swap guys, and it's just people that have acquired tons and tons of baits over the, who knows, last 50 years, and they're just trying to get rid of some of their inventory, and they're just parsing things out, and you can get some new stuff, but like Carson found these frogs that were in package still from like 25 years ago or 20 years ago. And like, it's like $2 for $8 or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like, and the price tag still on there for, they were $1.49 30 years ago or whatever it was. Right. Like, but it's these killer deals of brand new lures that have this second purpose in this real life that, and I've talked to a few people, but like in Epic Baits, when I was talking to them, Jason and Amanda, about old baits, like making new baits to be attractive and new looking with new actions and new this and new that, but it doesn't mean that the original bait or the old bait stop working. Like when I was talking to them, because they, you know, they're always trying to drive design and they're trying to drive new motions and new things to make a better product. But it doesn't matter how far away you go from an original curly tail. The original curly tail still works. It's not like the fish are like, that worked in the 60s, but I'm not eating that anymore, right? Like, it works. It's just we're working off of their nature. And part of us, what we're doing when we're developing baits is we're trying to make things more realistic. We're trying to make, like, more natural movements. But a curly tail will always work. And I think that's one of the things that, especially with you, because you do a before and after picture, is you take these baits, you clean them up, and you kind of... Some of them you do spice up to these new looks, but other ones you just kind of bring back to their original state. So you're doing the white and reds over top of a faded white and red. You're bringing those colors back to more when they were new. And I love that. I love seeing that. Like, it's not necessarily being rebranded. It is just bringing it back to its prime. And I love some of those baits that you're posting, because you do see them in all their glory. And you're like, that bait still works. It doesn't matter if it's a 50-year-old head and topwater prop bait. It still works. It's not like it doesn't work anymore. It stopped working 30 years ago. And you're seeing these things. And I love that. I love seeing that about your page. Where do you find yourself? Like... kind of a loaded top end question, because we can be in more places than once, but would you rather, let me word this the best I can. You can do everything, right? I make hard baits, I'm dabbling into soft baits, but maybe one day I can do a little bit of everything. But if anybody were asking me what kind of lures I make, I'd say hard baits. I'm a hard bait guy. Would you rather build like your projection into, I don't want to say like renewing baits, but not repurposing it, but bringing old baits to life. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what's the word I'm looking for? Whatever. You know what I'm talking about.
In my old baits.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, but, like restoring old baits, versus like start to finish building your own. Like, would you rather focus yourself on that repurpose thing? The reason I say that is because what I like to do on this podcast is just say things out loud. A lot of things we've talked about on this in the past maybe weren't a thing before this, and we just said it out loud. And I believe just speaking it into the ether and bringing these things up, because there's a lot of people out there that have old baits. Not all of them want to get rid of them, but what they do want is somebody that's willing to repurpose them and to retrofit them with new hardware, new stuff, and give them, again, a 40-year-old, because they don't have the means of doing that. Do you know what I mean? Like, is that an avenue you'd want to go down, or is it like you want to stick to like the building?
I think I enjoy the building.
Yeah.
Kind of going back to, you know, the show and tell done on your whiskey bait videos. And, it's just that part of the mind that keeps, you know, like, sure, I made this one Junebug blade inline spinner.
Right.
And, you know, however many weeks into it, I was like, oh, well, what if I make like an umbrella rig using these blades?
Yeah.
Like, you know, so, I start sketching that out a little bit. And then it's like 2 days later, I want to kind of jump back into doing this other thing.
Yeah.
It's cool to see kind of these old forgotten lores like get freshened up, and I don't know what the coating is, but so many of them have like this like white film. I don't know if it's like a reaction to the clear.
I think it's just that faded, broken down clear coat. Like, I think it's just erosion on the clear coat.
But it's cool to see that. But I definitely enjoy the
building.
The building.
Right. I mean,
and it's funny going back to what you're saying about like making a wood lure. Like, sure, you can just get, you know, a coping saw, a file, and really basic stuff and come up with something. But it just make your life easier if you get a bandsaw.
Yeah, that's right.
You know.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of with the wire, like handcrafting those without like wire forming tool. I'm just like pretty much pliers,
right,
in my hand, like wrapping.
Yeah.
And it's just my old age. I'm here comes arthritis kicking back big time.
Yeah.
I do enjoy the making.
Yeah, I mean, I feel that like 100%, and that's my problem is like, I'll get the bug for something. Like, I'll be like, oh, I want to do this now. And then I'm like, all right, well, I'll advocate the funds for this. And then I use it 3 times and then I don't make it again. But that's one thing that always comes back is some type of jig. And there's people that make them, but a wire bending jig that you can like vary the size of eyelets that you twist. And like, it's just like a metal that I think that would be invaluable to have. And I mean, I don't have one, obviously, but I'm the same thing when it comes to any kind of wire bending. It's all by hand with, I do now have like the wire bending pliers. Like, it's not a jig, but it's just, they have different eyelet sizes that you can wrap, but you're still using your hand to wrap it around. And when you're using stainless, like you said, sometimes I try to open my hands quickly and they just don't do it. It's just like a super slow finger opening, so you can feel the stiffness starting to kick in. But yeah, I think to your point, what you're saying is that there's always going to be something. You're going to get a bandsaw, you're going to get like, you know, a jig, and then you're going to be like, you know what, I could really use a punch to make my own blades. And then you're like, I you know what, I've been using this thin steel, I've been using this recycled sheet metal that I'm getting, maybe I need to upgrade to brand new stain. And there's always going to be that whale that you're chasing, right? So But I agree with, and that we did talk about that. It was after the last whiskey bait when I was showing my board collections of things that I have. Was the creative, I call it the creative mind because that's the nice way to put it. My OCD and my inability to stop and just finish one thing and not move on, and how many projects I have started, tapped into more just than just our conversation. I had a lot of people be like, "Oh, dude, I'm the same. Look at this," and then get a picture of like four different things that are on the go right now, and none of them are finished. I think that's a bug we all kind of have in this business, so to speak. But
I have pieces of what is it, leaf springs for a truck from 15 years ago when I was like, hey, I'm gonna build a backyard forge and make my own chef knife,
don't even. I have pieces of steel where my kids play, laying around for years. Last 5 years that I haven't touched, that I would cut up and try to hammer out and make small blades out of, which I don't do anymore. I should get rid of those, but I don't, because what if
One day
one day
you
I make
will
myself a new
do.
blade? It might happen. So I got a problem with that. But again, I know I don't have you here for a huge amount of time, so there's other questions I do want to talk to you about. But as a public service announcement, for anybody looking to tie that does tie any kind of flies and feather trebles, stuff like that, there's so many things on the market to buy, and those things are literally in your house and in your cupboards. You don't need to buy them. You have them. You just have to look. And I think that you do a great job at, excuse me, showing those things. And I appreciate you bringing those things to our attention. To talk fishing, you had mentioned very slightly float tubing, tube floating, float tubing, float fishing, tube fishing.
Belly boating.
Yeah. That's something that is new to me. Like I've heard of it before. The only tube floating that I've ever heard of was you start at the top of a river and you have a bunch of booze and you float to the bottom of the river and you drink that booze. Like that's there was no fishing involved. But after you had brought it up, and again, I'd heard a few people talk about it. I've been offered in September to do this float fishing trip that for whatever, it doesn't matter. But you're fully outfitted. You bring a couple rods and that's all. Like, explain to me what it is. Explain to someone who doesn't know what it is so that someone who doesn't know what it is, myself, can understand what it is.
So I always explain it as kind of like a personal pontoon
Okay.
boat that's inflatable. There's a seat in the middle of it. There's older ones that like were kind of, they've been around forever, but there's older ones that, do you know the like 80s baby jumpers
Yeah,
that
yeah.
you just flip the baby in? It would be like one of
With the
those.
tube or like around you.
Yeah, with the tube around
Okay.
you and like pouches for your tackle.
Okay.
But this one's kind of the one I have is like pretty standalone setting, and but there's a couple pouches on each side of you, so you can throw a couple of, like 35 or 3600 like Plano
Okay.
little guys.
Do you sit in the water or are you on the water?
Yeah, I wear waders,
Okay.
so it's probably you're probably wet up to like about your hips,
Okay.
and you wear dive flippers over your
Oh,
boots.
okay.
So you're using your feet, your legs
For
to propel
propulsion.
yourself.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, it's super cool. I mean, there's paddles that are made like a trolling motor prop that you hook up a drill to that people use,
Of course there is.
which looks great. Have to try it sometime, but it's I don't know. Part of me just imagines hearing, like, you know, your cordless drill going constantly.
There's always a thing. There's always a thing to make it you not have to do the work. There's always something to make it easier. That's so funny, man. That's hilarious. No,
But
it's intriguing because when I saw you talking about it and you sent kind of pictures and I kind of see a corner of it or something, I've always wondered what it's like, but it's inflatable or is it? So are you inflating that on the riverside or are you bringing it inflated?
I'm usually just doing it there partially
Okay.
inflating it. It doesn't take too long
Right.
actually, really, because it's like the one I have is two separate small bladders,
Okay.
which I think even some of the like most of them are like separate bladders.
Right. Right. Yeah, again, people are going to be like, you're an idiot to me because I know nothing about them. I've never used it. But I mean, that's the appeal, right? Is that you could, depending on, I mean, we got kids, it's a little different situation. But if you have trunk space, you could essentially leave it in your trunk. Like, will it fit in your trunk?
Yeah, folded. It's the breaking down kind of isn't that fun because it's all soaking wet, you know. And of course, I'm always out until like the last minute that, you know, I have
Yeah,
cleared to be
absolutely.
home by.
For sure.
But yeah, I just throw down like an old blanket or old towels or something.
Right.
But yeah, you can totally set it in the trunk.
And
And that's not.
what's like, so it's similar to wading, like being in the water. Is it cumbersome, like when you actually do catch something? Like, 'cause I'm assuming you have two like bladders on either side of you. Like, is it cumbersome trying to get?
I feel like they kind of come to like arm rest level, so it's not cumbersome. It's actually helpful because you're not using your hands with a
Oh
paddle
yeah, I guess
at
so.
all, you know.
Yeah.
So your feet, you know, if you're getting pulled a little bit, you just kind of like pick one of your feet
Right,
out and
right,
readjust the
right.
direction. And even not fighting the fish, even just like, you know, adjusting for cast, you can just kind of like put
Yeah,
out
that's true. That's
and
true. You
cast this
can
way.
maneuver yourself to benefit you the best. Yeah, see, and the problem is like I've got a boat, but I also got a canoe. Like, I mean, I didn't have them all at the same time. I started with a kayak. I got a used canoe that was offered to me for super cheap. And I got a boat that I bought a couple of years ago. But, like, I hear that and I'm like, well, you know what? Like, that could be fun. Like, I could enjoy th I don't use the kayak or the canoe. Like, you know what I mean? Like, why would I buy one? But I could see me getting one for one trip, being like, this is the best. And then never using again because I'm an idiot. But no, that sounds, because a lot of the rivers and stuff that are around me, we have what's called the Grand River not far from me. And it's a super long river, like extremely long. And that's why they call it the Grand River, in case you're curious. But it doesn't have a ton of, like, there's a lot of the areas that you could just kind of park and walk to. It doesn't have boat access. And not that you'd want boat access, because although some parts are like, some areas are like, you know, 800, yeah, give or take, 600 feet wide, and it might be 14, 15 feet deep in the middle. There are other places that are like rock breached, shallow spots. You know what I mean? And those are in between all of those spots. So you could be cruising and then suddenly come across a stretch that is extremely shallow and then goes deep on the other side. So, like, the float would be nice to be able to get into those areas and kind of cruise along, because parts of it I used to wade into, and I would walk right across the river, and at deepest it was about belly button. So I'm not taking a boat there, but I would float that and just kind of cruise in those areas, right? So that's where the appeal comes from, is getting into those spots and being able to cruise that river area without having to drag a kayak down there or a canoe, just being able to kind of blow this thing up and kind of bring it to water's edge and get in. Like, that's where I like the thought of it. That's interesting.
Yeah, there's backpack straps that like disconnect, so
Oh.
you can actually like inflate it,
Right.
throw it on your back and hike into something. I
Beautiful.
mean, that's I haven't done any long hikes into the woods to get to somewhere yet with
Right.
it, but But the other thing is that, you know, we got a canoe, used canoe. I'm gonna say like maybe like within the same year, like maybe 5, 6 months after getting the float tubes, and it was mostly to get the wife and the kids on water
Yeah,
too. They were kind of,
definitely.
this isn't fair,
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know. But the thing with you know, having a canoe or a bigger vessel is like you can cover so much more water, you
Yeah.
know, just kicking around in that float tube, kind of rough.
If that's your purpose, and I'm gonna say like that's the whole thing, right? It's like it depends on the purpose of what you're using them for. So it definitely has its niche for what you want. Yeah, you're not gonna get into a lake and I guess crush it to the other side just in a float tube. Like you're, that's not your. It's a float tube. It's not a vessel of transportation. That's a good point. But again, I like the things for like the little like I like to have the right tool for the job, and that's like I said for the river, that's the right tool for the job. That's perfect.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Okay. Let's get into the questions, the main questions. First question, are you bringing a banana on your float tube?
It's funny, I never knew that was a thing until Instagram and your podcast. I had no idea. I'm not superstitious really at all. I actually brought a banana on purpose. The one trip I went out after moving here to New York, but got my first chain pickerel ever
Really? That's good luck for
the day
you.
I brought a banana out. So,
It's good luck,
and
news
it's
for
funny,
you.
I don't know, you know, with kids' toys, we have a fake banana somewhere. So I was like debating on kind of starting a tally, bringing fake banana versus
Right,
real banana,
right.
but
So not a
yeah,
big deal.
bring.
I mean, and I said this, I think the first time was like I didn't know until my adult life that bananas on a boat. Like that was nothing my grandfather ever mentioned to me, was like can't bring a banana. Like I that was new to me until kind of my adult life when I started getting into fishing myself. Sorry, I'm about to sneeze. Are you bringing any snacks with you to the river or wherever you're floating? And I know you, I know you fish shore fish and all that stuff. So, like, are you bringing snacks with you? What are you bringing? You got kids, of course you're bringing snacks.
I do.
What are you bringing?
I for me personally, I don't. If I do bring snacks, it's usually like some sort of jerky,
Right.
maybe like granola, crunchy or chewy, either or. But granola bars are a good one.
That's one that's never been mentioned, and that's like granola is a big thing for like just one and you're good. Like it just fills you up and it gets rid of that like the expansion in your stomach. That's actually a great boat snack to have. Sorry, and any
I
of
also got a shout out the pepperoni rolls. I love that there was that mention in several episodes.
Yeah.
It's funny, I think every time I've gotten one of those, like when I'm going fishing, it never makes it to the lake. Like I just
Just eat
crush it on the
it.
drive, you know?
That's
But yeah, mostly, you know, my brain's always just more on fish and crab.
right.
Giving my body the nutrients that it needs to be.
And that's probably the right answer. The problem is I just get so hungry that
Yeah.
it takes over everything. But again, like that's also, and I'm not saying not to you, but like for me, I'm on the water by 5, 6 o'clock in the morning, and sometimes I'm off at 7 o'clock at night. So I'm living on the boat for the duration of the day, and I have to consume something. So, but I like the granola, and that's again, that's just a good filler. Like that's just get it in you because you can have a granola bar and then be set for a good portion of the day. So, being the repurpose, recycle guy, three baits that are your go-to baits that you would always keep in that tackle box of yours that just make you feel good.
I think a spoon is up there in the list. They're just good
What are
for
you,
multi
what would your go-to
species,
coloring
like maybe
be?
like a I'm sorry?
Do you have a go-to color? What would your color be?
I usually just like a silver cap. Passman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Silver.
Nice and simple.
They usually, yeah. Definitely a walking, definitely top water. I think just like a huge portion of the rest of the anglers out there, like there's top water bites. They're
Right.
just a different beast. So, maybe like a spook or like a walking frog, something like that.
Yeah.
Definitely a top water. And oh man, third one, I have to like say a Senko.
You have
Senko
to.
or
I like it when
they're
it's just
so
like
fun.
a I have to. I have to say it.
Or even like a fluke, like an old sluggo, like those the flukes are fun too, but I just it's awesome that just they're so easy to skip, and they're
Yeah.
like the only thing that I can. I'm working on that, practicing that still, but you can just throw a weightless weed as one of those,
I know.
pretty thick stuff.
And it's universal, like you can use it anywhere. Anything's biting it.
Yeah.
No, those are core solid three. Like I said, pretty much anywhere. Those are good choices to go with, obviously. I mean, I don't think there's ever gonna be someone that says something where I'm like, that's a shitty choice. Like they're all gonna be good choices. They're all right, but I don't know, how do you respond to that? And bucket list trips. Where are we going? 24 hours, anywhere. What species?
I think the first time I heard you pose this question, the first episode, I just constantly think about it. Not constantly, but like it definitely
It
comes
comes
up
up.
where I'm like, what would be, kind of flip-flopping like the rankings
Right.
on the fish. But Japan, maybe like Biwa, just catching them all. I think Biwa has the world record on largest bass.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, like I don't I'm not totally
See,
sure
which
either,
is
to be
funny
honest.
because I don't remember. Like, they started, like, in the 70s or something, they started stocking bass in Japan. I don't think bass was native to Japan. So
Yeah, they're
it's
not there.
curious that they've curated the, if they do have the world record, it's curious that they've designed it.
They,
They've made
yeah.
it the biggest.
Yeah, but I've just seen, so many clips of just this crystal clear water
Right.
catching pretty incredible bass. And plus like the JDM market. I would like utilize that 24 hours to
Yeah. I mean, that's a
do that.
cycle.
I think second would be a Wells catfish. From a float tube. I don't know if you've ever they've been around for a while, but there's like a guy in a float tube and he's just throwing like the biggest whopper flopper
Okay.
into these
Yeah,
cat.
I don't know if it's the same guy, but I've seen it come across my TikTok if it's the same guy. But he's bombing like into like mangrove openings, these ploppers, and you can see the shadow of an absolute dinosaur come ripping out from the muddy waters and inhale these things. I don't know if it's the same guy, but those little TikTok videos are unbelievable.
7 foot catfish that you're catching while floating in this
Yeah.
personal pontoon. Yeah, those are, I think it's like Eastern Europe, so I think I'd shout out Italy.
A good one. That'd be
Italy for
fun.
some Wells catfish. Man, I'm like drawing a blank. Third. What was it? Wells catfish?
Those catfish.
Biwa for bass and New Zealand. There's a guy on Instagram, point of POV New Zealand fly fishing,
Okay.
and there's some monster native trout, and just the surroundings that you're in. Like, I mean, I think fishing has always been one of those things where you kind of appreciate,
Right.
your surroundings,
Yeah.
and then, whether it be,
It's the experience.
yeah,
Getting out there, getting the
and
whole experience.
yeah, I think New Zealand, having been there, once
before. You've been to New Zealand?
Good. Yeah. That's cool. We actually, part of our honeymoon.
Oh, nice.
My wife and I. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
But, yeah, I actually caught a lake, pretty decent-sized lake trout on, like, a ocean surf rod. Because we bought a minivan and traveled living in this van. Came with a rod, so I just remember being in this, like, small lake, bombing, like, these big saltwater spoons.
That's awesome, man. This is episode 27, and if I were being honest, my top three has shifted a million times. And I don't want to say that it's shifted and they wouldn't be in my top three, but it's hard to do a top three after talking with everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
I think it's up there with, like, what's your favorite three band?
Right.
Or favorite three song.
Right.
Like, I think it's totally up there with that.
To move on more towards what you have going on in the future, what are some of your future projects? Like, what are you trying to set your sights on right now? Are you working on anything? I know that I've actually seen posts on Instagram from other people that have your stuff tagged in it. So you've sent those spinners to a few people now. Feel in the water. Is that something that you want to try to expand on, getting some more of those out, maybe possibly selling some of those? Is that where we're
headed? I'm hoping to. You know, it's so cool. You know, and I think I've had this conversation with you before where, you know, social media is such a toxic place, but it can also be extremely accepting and helpful place.
Right.
Well,
right.
And you know, it's just kind of like over the my last and first year of, you know, kind of starting an Instagram profile, putting stuff out there, I just kind of found a group of other, you know, IG friends, I like to call them, you know, sending memes and whatever right. back and forth right. and just this community, and just figured who better to kind of help me not totally validate it, but just kind of like I guess for the feedback of like, hey, like, this is cool,
yep.
but you know, I would tweak this or I would yeah. prefer this, which I don't think this is my first time doing that, but I just figured who better than the other makers
right.
on Instagram.
Definitely.
Just,
and that's...
know, shoot the breeze with me
that,
already.
That's... There's... It's easy on Instagram to say, in a bad way, that sucks. Right? Because you're faceless. However, I feel like I can also get more honest criticism when I send something to somebody and say, I want to know what you think about this, versus if I walk up to somebody and say, hey, let me know what you think about this. They're less likely to, in my face, tell me what's wrong with it. But in an Instagram message, somebody would be more likely to be like, this is what I would like, this is what I'm not a huge fan of, or whatever. Like, I mean, I've gotten my, and we've talked about this on the show before, my time online doing what I'm doing has been majority of positive, like, interactions. I'm very blessed to know that my interactions, the negative ones, are very, very minimal. And don't get me wrong, the ones that I've had, they put me into a spiral. But when I think about how little that actually is, I know I'm very fortunate with having a very positive environment around me. But I think a lot of that has to do with putting out the positive energy as well. But when it comes to feedback, it's someone not trying to be hurtful. It's somebody, you ask for criticism and somebody giving you that feedback. And I think online is a better place for that than in person, personally, from my experience. because it's just, it's harder to tell somebody that there's something that you don't like about what they're you're providing, right? Where online, you're not anonymous, but you don't have to look the person in the face when you say, yeah, you know what, I wouldn't do this. Like this, I could see, because I've had people say, like, what's your hookup ratio on this? Because this hook is just kind of sitting here, and I feel like it should be higher. Where I've been in person for giving lots and lots of those baits to people. Never once has it been brought up. And maybe it hasn't been thought about, but once it was brought up to me, I'm like, well, that's an obvious thing that I didn't, I might not have saw without it being brought up. And now that I see it, I'm like, how did no one else see this? Like, it's pretty in front and center. So online is a big thing. And I mean, Austin with Middle River Baits just sent me a post. It might have even been yesterday from recording this, that it was just a cool little video from Instagram that it's one of those like voiceovers while somebody's working. And it just says, like, your online friends are passed off as online friends when a lot of your online friends are more important than people you might know in real life. Because the support you get from the online, like, when you're not doing anything, your real people aren't saying anything to you. But your online friends are encouraging you, telling you how good you're doing, telling you, like, how you've changed things for them. Like, the motivation from an online friend is so, because there's not the everyday life convolution of it. You know these, I know you as what we know each other as, bait makers. Like, I don't know your day-to-day life. I don't know the problems that you're having, or, but I know what you do and I appreciate what you do. And it's, I'm going to motivate you to do that thing that we have in common, where that person in real life knows that your car broke down yesterday and they're talking about that. Like, they're not caring necessarily about what you're doing in the bait making world. They're caring about the real world things that are happening. So it's not that they're bad, but your online friends are so important to the thing that you're striving for, because that's what they know you as, and that's what they're rooting for you as, right? And I think that that's a super important place for the online social media market, is the friendships that you've acquired, that I've acquired. Like, everybody that I've had on here, some I've never talked to before, and now I would consider them, I would consider them a real friend, but like, they're an online friend. They're an online person that I can reach out and talk to about more than just baits now, right? And I think that's super important. And you've reached out and you've sent your spinners to, like, because I totally took that conversation right out of your mouth and took it over, like I do.
I'm on the same page as you.
But you've sent those spinners to some people that you trust to get some feedback from at the end of the day, to bring it full circle. But so that's something that you're going to be working on. So after this is done, over the next, you know, whether it's right away or later on, there is something that I've had an idea, and I was kind of what we talked about before, about something that I think that you should look into doing when it comes to just something that you can sell. Because like I said, hooks aren't free. There's things that, even if you were to rebuild stuff with some small repurposing in it, I think that people could get a lot of effect out of it. And again, that's something that we should talk about later. But let people know where they can find you. Where can they find Timmy?
I'm pretty much just only on Instagram right now.
Safe.
Yeah.
And that's under Rescue Fishing?
Super new.
It is. And that is RESQ_fishing. That's amazing, man. I appreciate that. This was, we're filming this the day of Tuesday. I'm going to be releasing this on Wednesday. And I just mentioned to him, I'm like, oh, are you working? He goes, no, I'm at home. I said, perfect. This, between this time and this time, I need you for the podcast. And you're like, yeah, done. So I definitely appreciate that. You being here and sharing a little bit of your story and what you do. And I think that everybody can find your story and what you do, a motivation to maybe not be so wasteful and to keep, and I would put out the mission statement for anybody that flies, ties flies or ties hooks, and wants to add something cool, I think you should look into something like what Tim does and use the inside of a chip bag. Like, anything. Like, it's got that flash. You're already getting Cheeto fingers anyways. So you might as well put a little bit of flash in your bait as well. Okay. For shout-outs today, it's kind of last minute, and I totally forgot about the shout-out segment that I was doing. I definitely want to, because we brought up knives, I want to bring up Tuckamore Custom Knives. Go check him out. He's always making these dynamite blades. One of the last bladesmiths that I follow, not that I stop following people because I don't like them, it's just I only do follow a couple of them, and he's one of them because he's making fantastic stuff, and I'm super jealous. Like, that's when we're talking about recycle, and I'm like, oh, I could recycle more. I see him, and I'm like, oh, I just need to start forging again. I need to start making knives again because I see it, and I'm just like, I love it. And then I don't miss it because there was so much to do with it. And realistically, I wasn't like some crazy good bladesmith. I just enjoyed doing it. Tuckamore, oops, hit my mic. Tuckamore Custom Knives. Make sure you're checking him out. Let's say Plum Baits. Plum Baits, check him out. He's making some pretty awesome stuff. I'm a big fan of him. I don't think we mentioned last week, but go check out 54 Bust. A fantastic muskie fisher. He's also got an awesome YouTube. So go check him out. Anybody you got a shout out? Anybody that you follow that you're into?
Shout out you on your own podcast, man.
Me?
Just oh, yeah. Cheers, man. from day one, man. You know, just being so new to it, I actually stumbled upon, I think you posted a whiskey bait recording that you did.
Okay.
And, you know, I just remember chatting to you about just trying to get tips or whatever on posting or whatever, and you're just like, you know, hey, snap out of it. You just got to do it, you know? So, yeah. You know, shout out to you for, you know, being a part of getting me to dive in.
Thanks, man. I mean, we've had that relationship, though. That's just to touch on that, that's, it's so funny, like, it's always just been a, man, just do it. Like, I don't know, and I'm going to be honest with you, my relationship with you is, I don't have it with anybody else. Where, like, just because I believe in what you do, and I can see that you're driven behind it, and you're such a passive person. You're always like, I don't know if I, just stop, get out of your, just do it, just post it. I'm done listening to this shit, just get it online. Like, yeah, stop, like,
so
but it's so... it's such a funny relationship I have because, you know, we have good conversations. We have great talks. We talk about things. You bring things up. But that's one of the reasons why I try to make sure that when I do a whiskey bait, I post it, is really because of you, because I know that somebody will watch it. You know what I mean? Like, there's somebody that will watch it after I post it. Because I post it a lot of times. I'll get likes on it, but those are people just flipping through. And then I know that there's a couple people like yourself that will actually watch it to see what happens in it. And that means the world to me. It makes it worth posting because I know one person's going to watch it. So I appreciate you for that.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some gold in some of those whiskey bait. And,
sometimes things
happen. For sure. definitely some gold in there. But yeah, actually, I remember one of the first ones, it was you and Carson were doing it together.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you know, cleaning a reel, tuning in, and I look up at the you know, amount of people in the room. I'm like, it's the three of us. We're just like talking about fishing, and I like jumped in to join the call, and I think it was like, you know, we got past introduction, and it was like Instagram boot.
Yeah. I remember you. That's right. I remember one of our introductions with you was you were cleaning reels. You sent me the picture of the reels that you're working on. Right. I remember that. But a real person. Let's shout out a real person. That matters.
I'm going to shout out, you know, everybody already knows them. Miko, Marlin, like those guys. Just those YouTube polls, you know, really helped you know, just kind of put into perspective, like, this is totally doable.
Right.
And totally take this and this. And one of Miko's videos was, he just epoxied like 10,000 layers of junk mailers.
Yep.
I don't know if you ever saw that
yep.
one, but like, that one was like one of the main sparks. Was just like, this dude's taking, you know, sure you can recycle it, but it's, you know, the process of running the machines to recycle this paper.
Right.
You know,
right.
You know, just kind of counterbalances.
Right.
You know, less
right.
of a carbon footprint
yes.
if it's just the guy in Canada epoxying together paper.
Yeah.
But yeah, those guys for sure.
They definitely do a service. They do. They make things palpable, and understandable for somebody who might not know all the terminology. They make it accessible for anybody watching it to definitely feel like you could do it. And I think that's the first step in doing it, is having the confidence and trying. And I think they do a great job at that. But that's awesome, man.
But yeah, there's too many.
There is
Instagram
so many
peoples. Y'all know who you are. And shout out to my wife too for dealing with me doing all things fishing. But
that's great, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Again, I appreciate you. I'm gonna call it, because I know that you would talk to me for longer, but you have obligations that you put on the side for this. So I appreciate you hanging around and giving me this bit of time to talk. Again, that's Rescue Fishing, RESQ_fishing. Make sure you go give him a follow, and give him motivation to start posting more stuff. The guy, like, he goes through these lulls where he doesn't post anything, and it's bullshit excuses. So just make sure he's putting up more content. Hold him to it once, twice a week. Get some stuff out there. I appreciate you, though, man. I appreciate you hanging around. And
thank you. I appreciate you back, man.
That's awesome. Thank you, everybody.
I still need to clean up my shop, which you were like, gave me motivation for, with like, I think it lasted about 15 minutes.
Mine's a mess again. I sent you that message. Mine's a mess again, and I have two areas. They're both a mess again. but for anybody out there that's feeling the rut that I'm sure we've all been in, that I'm fighting through right now. Again, they say the first thing you should do when you wake up is make your bed, because that's one job complete and you're already winning at the beginning of your day. If you're in a rut mentally, physically, and you need to just clear your space, clear your workspace. Clear that one first. I know it's going to make you feel behind. You got orders, you got things to do. Take a day, take an hour, take 10 minutes. And just completely clean your workspace. Get all the paints off of it. Get off your feathers cleaned off. Get your hooks organized. Get everything cleaned and start with a new workspace. And I tell you, it'll motivate you back to like day one, having that clean space and being like, look at the room I got. I can do stuff. It'll motivate you. It'll reset things. I encourage everybody that's feeling that rut, clean your workspace. Give yourself that area to work, and it'll recharge those creative thoughts 100%. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for being a part of this. I know this one was a little delayed. I got some sickies at my house that I'm dealing with. Everything's fine though. We're good. We got medication. We got antibiotics. We're working through this. So thank you for the delay. This one will be posted on Wednesday, which will mean I'm back in the booth sooner than what I'm expecting. So thank you all for listening. Thank you all for your patience. As always, stay happy and healthy, and we'll see you on the water.